Ancast is brought to you by RightStuffAnime.com. Check out some great deals on anime, manga, merchandise, figures, and more at RightStuffAnime.com. Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Sorry to let you down. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Hope is here.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. Busy. Yeah, super busy, right? Super busy time of year.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of different projects going on for ANN and holiday times, and it's all just sort of converging. But
yeah.
Good.
Well, it doesn't help that, like, so we have 2 week-long features, which a week-long feature is, like, it's one big feature where we post a page every day.
Mm-hmm. Like the gift guide and stuff.
Yeah, the gift guide. We just did a holiday gift guide, which did pretty well. I was happy with that. And now we're doing it again with the top 10 anime of 2015, which was a very interesting thing to track. We've seen the poll results. We did our mega poll like a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the poll results at this point. We know the top five, which changed a little bit over the course of the like 4 or 5 days that the poll was active.
Yeah, is it fair to say that 4 through 6 were like just a knockdown, drag out, contentious, and then 1 through 3 were more solid, if that makes sense.
Right.
But yeah, that's basically the sum up.
Yeah.
4 through 6 were beating each other up, and 1 through 3 were just sort of watching.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty solid top five.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a few things in there where I'm kind of like, but, you know, for the most part, yeah, I guess I would say 4 out of 5.
I think the poll this year really illuminated to me that 2015 on the whole was a much stronger year for anime than 2014 was. I think so. It was like the good stuff was better and the bad stuff was not as bad, if that makes sense. That was my perception of it when comparing back and forth. It was like, oh yeah, like the rank stuff is not as rank, and the like good stuff is more ambitious and exciting this year. 2015, me personally as a critic, I thought was a stronger year.
Yeah, well, okay, see, the poll results say to me that they're incredibly lopsided towards one show.
Well, that is...
Which says to me that, like, everything else, because it's, like, the top five and fucking nothing. The drop-off is so stark after the number one. Like, when we release these numbers, I think people are going to be really shocked at just how lopsided it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have to tell you
what
show this thing is lopsided toward, but there was one thing everyone really liked.
But at the same time, looking at the stuff that's competing with one another and the stuff that people did vote for, like, it is... I mean, last year's list is sort of a steady, gradual downtrend. Like, the highest thing got, I think, 24, which was Parasite, got about 24% of the vote, and then it sort of slid down. This is, like, one big bump at the top, number one.
Yeah.
And then there's a jump down to a nice sliding scale. So, yeah, it's an anomaly, but that doesn't, one show doesn't say anything about the hundreds of others that were, I think, on the whole, stronger than the average hundreds of others from 2014, in my opinion.
I guess that's one way to interpret it. I think that's a valid interpretation, although I guess I would maybe lean a little bit more towards, well, that one show got everybody else excited and nothing else came close to it. Mm-hmm. So to the point where that other stuff maybe wasn't as strong, mm-hmm, as it could have been.
Yeah.
And the top five, you know, those are all significant hits.
Yeah.
The rest of it is like...
They're diverse, too. There's a lot of diversity in the... just in the voting in general, in the top 10 in general. I don't know. I thought it was a strong year. I liked looking at the poll results. I liked looking over what came out this year and seeing just the intense amount of, like, different things. It's a lot of variety. So, yeah, overall. Like, it's sort of all came out in different times. So, like, spring of this year, to me, was just a dearth of, like, pleasant, iyashike, good feelings stuff, and I was like, I need some energy up in this bitch. But that was, you know, but looking at the here and the whole, like, it's like, oh, okay, well, that was all lumped in at one point, but overall, there's a lot of diversity this year, as there is with any given year of anime, and I think it was a good year.
Right, yeah. I guess I would agree with that. I don't know. It was pretty scattered for me this year. Nothing, you know, a couple of things I got really excited about. Well, no, you know, now that I think about it, yeah. No, it was a stronger year, like, overall. I can name more things I really liked right off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for sure. I think that's true. We will release those poll results at the end of that feature, because, of course, we would release those at the end of that feature. And then the first four parts will be top five lists from our critics. So it'll be Mike and Rebecca and Theron and Nick Creamer and, you know, all your favorite ANN pals list in their top fives.
And me.
And Hope, of course. You. I mean, that's the of course, right? I don't think I have time to write one, so I will probably not be participating in that.
Okay.
But I'll list them on the podcast. Speaking of the podcast, so unfortunately, due to all these other projects, we also don't have time to do a big holiday special podcast this year where Justin and I swap movies and you know, talk about them. I would have loved to have done that this year, but we just don't have time. So what we're going to release instead is a special kind of a joke thing that will come out likely on Christmas or the, well, maybe either the day, Christmas Eve or the day of Christmas. It'll just be a stupid lark, you know, nothing to get too excited about, but next year we'll definitely bring the swap back with Justin. So yeah, that should be pretty good. Anyway, so that's enough site business. You've been watching the fall shows.
Mm-hmm.
So how has it been going so far?
The obvious big, like, linchpin of anime fandom is watching and discussing and freaking out about is One Punch Man. It is seems to have, like, pulled all demographics. Like, it's casual people, super invested people, sakuga people, men, women, oldsters, youngsters. Like, it is a anime for everyone, you know, and you don't see anime for everyone very often, and One Punch Man is definitely one of them. So it's kind of everywhere right now, and so that's nice. But there's also plenty of other good stuff this season. I'm particularly floored by how good Noragami has been this season, where it's literally kind of like an Escaflowne thing, where it's like every single episode is heart-wrenching and edge of your seat. And that doesn't happen almost ever in anything anime, much less, you know, anime not as much as anything else, really. And it's like, it's rare. It's like rare to be like super invested every single week with stuff like that. But Haikyuu is really good. Production IG's, you know, kind of knocking it out of the park with Haikyuu again. And I don't know. It's a good solid. Concrete Revolutio is interesting. Like, that show has not ceased to be interesting and like kind of loaded to discuss. Like, it is just, I think it's just Sho Aikawa going, I'm getting old, here's what I really think about absolutely everything at all times. And it's you know, like, okay, good on you. Like, it is interesting to watch. I don't know, but there's a lot of diversity is, I guess, the point. And that's good. Like, it's good to have diversity in, like, any given season. The biggest issue for me is when all the shows in any given season seem kind of the same. So this is nice to have just stuff that's all very different from one another. So, yeah.
Yeah, Concrete Revolutio seems like something I might actually wind up watching in hindsight.
Like
going back and taking, because you describe it, it sounds pretty.
It is old man yells at cloud, but it's interesting. Like, it's not boring. It's hard to follow occasionally, but it was hard to follow at the very beginning, and then after that it cooled down, and it's easy to follow. It's just loaded with stuff. It's loaded with, and here's another thing, and it's like, okay, Grandpa is yelling at me. But Grandpa has some good ideas. It's just that it is something that you sort of pay attention to on a critical level more than you, like, you can't sit back and appreciate it. It is not
Layman. It's not enjoyable.
It is for people who are interested in what an old guy thinks about both anime and the culture of Japan in the 1960s and stuff like that. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah. You described it as, what, Watchmen, right?
It's Watchmen by Sho Aikawa, yes.
Sho Aikawa's Watchmen.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get the Zack Snyder.
Oh, no.
Film. Yeah. Well, is that it? Are those the standouts?
I'm still enjoying Ushio and Toro, but that's from, like, a season ago or so. But I just... that show is really fun to look at. It's kind of like Berserk. Except Berserk was made on, like, no money, but some of the shots, and it's like, oh my gosh. Except Ushio and Tora is, like, actually animated, so it's nice to see, like, that kind of imagery, this, like, nasty, gnarly, the villain, this creature called the Hakumen no Mono, is, like, really striking, a really striking monster design. It's, like, really upsetting to look at. Like, sometimes you want to look away from some of the stuff that's happening on screen in Ushio and Tora, and it's a boilerplate, like, shonen thing, but it is really intensive. Like, it's the production on that by MAPPA is largely what carries it. It is it's just a really, it's kind of like watching JoJo's, where it's like, oh, this is like an old thing, but this is a really passionate rendition of it by, like, people who obviously care about the material, so that kind of brings it out. I think that's kind of it for, like, the big stuff, because I'm not super into Gundam. I've been watching it. It's fine. It's interesting. I feel like maybe people who, like, are into the Gundams more could talk about why this Gundam is more Gundam or less Gundam than another Gundam. But for me, it's just Gundam. So that's the long and short of that. But, it's a good season. There's lots of interesting, weird, varied stuff in it.
Well, having seen some Gundam and also watching this Gundam, I would say it is about as Gundam as the other good Gundams that I have seen.
Right.
That is my opinion.
People in the chat want me to mention Mr. Osamatsu. Yeah, that's a funny show. It's very... I have trouble, like, recommending it or whatever, because it's a Japanese comedy for a Japanese audience, and it's the most Japanese thing to ever Japanese. But it is, like, again, made with really strong, like, really well-known voice actors who are funny, really good jokes, real solid timing and everything like that. It's animated really well. It's a really solid comedy, but I think it's kind of for people who are really into, like, Japanese humor and only them. But I am enjoying it. I have trouble, like, recommending it or anything. For the same reason I had trouble recommending Boy Boo or Cute High Earth Defense Club Love, which I also really liked, but is the most Japanese comedy in the world. So it doesn't look like it. It looks like it'll be accessible to everybody, because the idea of magical boys is inherently like, oh, that's funny everywhere. But it's like, no, guess what? It's all language jokes and stuff and culture jokes. And Osamatsu's like that. So it's like, I don't know who I'd recommend it to, but it is good. Yeah, it's good for Japanese comedy. So...
Right. Yeah, I kind of want to watch Mr. Osamatsu. I might give it a shot. Do you think I would like it? Nope. Okay.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Dang. All right. It seemed like it might be okay.
I would maybe pick out, like, an episode or a vignette that and just watch that and, like, say, okay, you'll find this funny.
What if I were, like, really baked?
No, because it would be confusing. Like,
It's not a weed show.
It's not a weed show. I mean,
as much as that's a thing, yeah.
Okay, there's a segment that you would definitely want to watch while baked, which is the road trip.
Okay, well, I'm joking. I don't really need, like, a detailed rundown, but yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a, like, road trip thing that's really weird and kind of upsetting and surreal and a little dark, and that might be funny, but yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I'm curious enough. I might still take a look. Just give it a shot on my own. Okay, I am not watching anything except Gundam and One Punch Man, and I don't have anything really to say about either of those, except they're good. One Punch Man is fine. I like it a lot. It's a really high-quality show that you don't ever have to praise, because everyone just knows that it's good.
Yeah.
So I don't say anything about it, because, yep. That's like saying, hey guys, sky sure is blue today. Yeah, it's good.
It's like, this is for everybody. Like, yeah. You're just watching, it's like, oh, this is for everybody. That's really good.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And Gundam is interesting. I'm keeping up with it sort of well. I like it. I like the characters. It's interesting. I want to see where it goes. So right now I feel like I don't have, like, a strong sense of how it's going to continue.
No, they haven't done a whole lot of plot stuff yet.
You know, so yeah, I'm kind of waiting for maybe a little bit more plot development.
Eventually the other shoe's going to drop.
Yeah, something like that. But we've seen a few movies lately. We don't usually do movies after we talk about anime, but I did want to make sure that I strongly recommended Krampus.
Oh my god, yes.
To everybody. I totally thought that movie was going to be bullshit, because it totally seems like Think Geek, the movie, like, bacon, sriracha, Doctor Who, you know, that...
A cynical, like, cash grab.
Yes.
With, like,
yeah.
Lame effects and lame ideas.
Yeah,
but
like...
It's not at all.
Like, internet nerd culture people talk about this a lot, so let's make a movie about it.
And the movie... Gremlins, like... This is like that, except more like a horror movie.
Yeah, it's really a good movie. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled, like, start to finish, funny, scary, like, totally awesome monster designs. I was just shocked, because I mean, I went based on the strength of the reviews. The reviews were like, you know, pretty good. And I walked out thinking even better. I thought pretty great. I really liked it.
Yeah. And it sticks the landing really hard in a way that sort of makes you want to clap. And like, how many horror movies stick the landing good? Like even good ones, yeah. Like then this one nails it. It's like, gets yourself in a position. At first, it's a hard to make a holiday horror movie. And this is like, okay, well, how do you even like, we managed to make a holiday horror movie, which is a big deal in and of itself. How do you conclude it? What tone do you end on? And they just nailed it. It was great. The movie's awesome.
Yeah, super good. All right. So are we ready to take some Twitter questions here?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do that after this word from our sponsor. Hey, folks, you know, it's that time of year. Christmas is right around the corner, right? And the season is so busy. I mean, between the caroling and the tree trimming and the holiday card mailing and the cookie baking and the sweater knitting and the ornament selecting and the relatives visiting and the airline ticket booking and the Christmas ham brining and the wreath choosing and the alcohol imbibing and the wassailing. Oh, the wassailing. Not to mention the snow plowing and the Christmas lights displaying and the eggnog hoarding and cleaning up cat poop with tinsel in it. Who has time to shop? Black Friday has come and gone, and so have most of those deals, but don't despair, my friends. Right Stuff's annual holiday sale is still going. That's right, you can save up to 95% on anime, manga, and merchandise, with new items being added every day from now until the day after Christmas. 2 days after Christmas, December 27th. And they already know how you shop, so don't try and get away with this whole one giant order right before Christmas. Break that up. Order multiple packages. Every time you do, each one of those orders enters you into a drawing for a $250 gift certificate to RightStuffAnime.com, and that's pretty cool. So break that order up, get those gift certificate entries in, and spare yourself a little hassle at RightStuffAnime.com. Okay, and we're back. All right, we're ready to take some Twitter questions. Let's see here. Custom Zaku asks. Custom Zaku? Yeah.
Are you the...
I'm all custom. You're like... That doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Are you factory issue Zaku, and this one's the custom?
No, I came with some downgrades.
Oh, that's not true.
All right, anyway, Custom Zaku asks... Are you looking forward to any particular winter season shows? Do you expect a few potential surprises? So the chart is, it's looking okay. Do you have anything that immediately, like, yep?
Well, I don't know. All the original stuff is a shot in the dark. I have no idea. So for me, like, the sequel's coming back. I am eager for Durarara to end so I can see how it ends, because it was... It's upsy-downsy. Like, it is a troubled, troubled production. And it's really frustrating because obviously the material underneath, like the books themselves that they're working off of, are fantastic. And what they are doing to adapt them, it's weird to be able to watch a show and go, oh, this seems like the book is really good. But they're having some trouble translating that with pacing and editing and crappy animation. So I'm really eager for Durarara to end, and I'm hoping they're saving like the big bucks for the big conclusion. But I am genuinely excited for Durarara to conclude. But I don't know about other stuff. It's mostly like original material that I don't have any perspective on. Snow White's going to continue. Snow White is sort of like it's like Iyashike shoujo. It's pacifying herbal tea sort of show, so it's hard to get like really excited about that. I'm gonna watch it, but I don't know what else is there that I know enough about to be excited or not excited. You know, I just have to like see an episode tell.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's a few things. Ajin, which isn't that going to Netflix?
I think so. Netflix has something this season.
I think it's Ajin, so I won't get to find out if that's any good.
Right. At least not for months and months. Seven Deadly Sins finally came out on Netflix and it's like, oh, this is a shonen show.
Yeah. I didn't really know what Seven Deadly Sins was. I thought it was a cool, like, actual Seven Deadly Sins, like, hell-themed show.
No, it's just a show.
And it's generic fantasy.
Yeah.
So I was kind of let down. So yeah, I'm curious to see it, Jen. The manga has cool art, and I've been meaning to read it. And there was a show, so I'm like, well, I'll watch the show. I am also looking forward to Macross Delta, which is a thing. I don't know if... Is that a TV show or an OVA? Usually that's OVA. Maybe it's not
a
TV show.
I think that's a TV show, actually.
Maybe? That'd be cool.
I'm pretty sure.
I would totally watch a new Macross. That sounds fine to me.
Pop stars and mechas.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm just curious about it. Mm-hmm. And we all have to keep an eye on Dimension W, because that's Funimation's show. That's their co-production, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
So we all have to keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be exciting. Right. I'm really curious to see what that show is like. But yeah, it's an exciting winter for a couple of reasons. But yeah, a few things to look forward to. I'm always prepared to be surprised, so there's usually a surprise or two. I mean, we can all just hope that it'll be just as good as winter was this year, which is a realistic expectation to have.
No,
right?
No, not at all.
No.
Well, people are excited about Assassination Classroom too. I liked that show, but I didn't really like. It didn't have, like, emotional highs or anything like that. It's just sort of, like, consistently amusing / pleasant. I don't know. Like, I will again watch Assassination Classroom when it comes back, but I'm always kind of surprised by how excited people get about that show. I'm kind of wondering where the excitement comes from, because to me, it's not a very, like, oh boy, more of this, but that maybe I'm the crazy one.
I don't know what to tell you.
It's fine. You know, it's like, this is nice. I don't know. Maybe they know what's coming and I don't. Like, maybe they read the manga and there's something exciting coming.
Don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. The 11th Commandment asks, okay, do either of you have any idea if I will be alive to see a release of Big O again? And if so, when? So I'm pretty sure Big O has a Sentai Filmworks license, and I don't know when they're going to put it out. But if it's anything like all of the other Bandai Entertainment stuff... Mm-hmm. We have no idea when that will ever come out here ever again. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, anyway. And I actually don't know anything about your life or your health or anything like that. So, unfortunately, I can't tell you whether or not you will be alive for it. Okay. Divine Nega asks, for Hope, how much of a localization nightmare do you expect the Ace Attorney anime to be, and what do you want from it?
Well, I don't think it's going to be that much of a localization nightmare. I feel like that's actually going to be kind of easy, because they'll just do kind of what they did with JoJo's and Digimon and stuff, which is just to use the localized terms that have been approved by the licensor in the show. So you see, for Digimon, you see Gatomon in the subtitles instead of Tailmon. You see Zenyatta Mondatta instead of Oingo Boingo. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't think that's going to be that difficult. The only thing I want out of an Ace Attorney anime is... Hey, I just mentioned JoJo's, is something similar to that that gives the... Everybody kind of knows, but the games are old enough at this point, everybody knows what happens in them. They've made the Takeshi Miike movie, we know what happens in that. So if it's adapting that first game again, if it's adapting that story, most people know it. So I just hope that it's not like a very standard Seiji Kishi sort of thing where it's like, eh, you know, shrug. It's something with impact and something that's sort of wacky and really brings out... I guess, a specific flavor that Ace Attorney has and is exciting in some way. So I guess that's what I would want is, you know, and it's not talking heads and a canted angle camera slowly moving back and forth between two people talking. Like, I don't want that, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. That would be really crappy if it were.
Yeah.
Shot reverse shot the show.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they did with Danganronpa, and the Seiji Kishi, I don't know when he became shorthand for this is a game adaptation, give it to this guy and it'll be competent but not interesting, but that has become shorthand, and it's like, yeah, like, they did that with Danganronpa, like, those, I saw the show first and liked it, and then I didn't realize how much wasted execution potential there was until I played the game, and I was like, oh, this is way more exciting, and it's not even animated, like... So it's, yeah, it's somebody with a little bit of an eye for excitement and crafty direction in some way. They can kind of bring a JoJo's flair to it. So, you know.
All right, well, we'll see. TD Crimson King asks, which movies are you guys most looking forward to in 2016? Well, Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, for sure. You can't wait to see that.
Ugh. Zack Snyder's Zack Snyderist Snyder.
God. Hail Caesar looks great. That looks
That's exciting. Yeah. Like I like the Coen brothers in general, but when I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, this seems like the most Coen-y thing. And not in a bad way, not in a, oh, they're repeating themselves way, but in a, like, it seems like they've been really let off the leash and it has, like, a fantastic cast and is a good concept, and it just seems like they're just having fun, and it's like, yes.
Yeah, it looks super good. Yeah. That looks fun. Well, I think every franchise has a movie next year, like, every single one.
Yes, all of them.
Like, Harry Potter has a movie next year that has what's-his-face in it, the, Theory of Everything guy, mm-hmm. Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
Hey, I think there's a Star Wars movie next year.
Ready, Edmayne.
Did you know that there is a Star Wars movie?
I think so.
That there's one coming out this year, too, right?
Yeah.
There's a Star Wars film.
Star Wars. Have you heard about the wars amongst the stars?
Have you heard of a film called Star Wars?
I have not heard of this.
Star Wars. Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Anyway, so that's happening.
Okay. Chuo Dori asks, if you could remake any one movie or movie franchise with today's effects and production technology, what would it be? Well, that's a question.
Jeez.
So, like, remake a movie.
Gee, that's hard. I don't... if it's one that I liked a lot, then I instantly think it doesn't need to be remade. And if it's one that I didn't like, then I'm not going to remember it off the top of my head. So that's a tricky question. Is there anything jumping to mind for you?
Yeah, I think it's time to reboot The Matrix.
Oh, yeah? Huh.
I do. I think now's the time. Just remake it.
Mm-hmm.
Start to finish. Make the first movie pretty faithful,
mm-hmm.
and then make another two movies that are not those other two films.
Uh-huh.
Just redo it. Just like, hey, let's try that again.
Yeah.
Like, just try it again.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
I'm just going to give the answer that's not an actual answer to the question, but it's the only answer I can give you, which is... that technically this was adapted to the screen. It's just, it was a small screen at the big screen. But now that, their YA novels are getting, like, serious treatment and stuff, I would love to see, like, a big budget, Hunger Games style trilogy or series of movies for Animorphs, which was actually made into a television series that was bad and unwatchable. And because that, they would have to adapt it a lot because it was written in the 90s and cell phones kind of change everything about that story. But I think it would be fun because the story is similar to a lot of YA that's gotten popular, and reason it got popular in the late 90s is because it starts like, yay, we're going to defeat the bad guys, and by the end, it's like war is hell. and it's interesting. Like, it was a very interesting book series that has always stuck with me, and now that YA is the hot shit for adapting to the screen and stuff like that, like, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Like, I that would be nice if they remade that. Or, talking about remakes, remake the TV show then. You know, I don't know. Something that's, like, aimed at the actual audience and not the rinky-dink crap that you could get adapted from Scholastic books in the 90s or whatever, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, you've brought up Animorphs a few times recently. Like, I think
it's because there's a bit of a revival online for it because of the YA thing.
Well, and the movie rights were purchased.
Yeah, and then, like, dissipated or something like that. But it's come back into, like, people have been talking about it as of the past 2 years, when they hadn't been talking about it for a decade. So it's like a nostalgic thing that isn't really being banked on yet.
Yes.
So I was reminded of that. I was like, oh, I haven't read those since I was like 15. And so I was looking at a lot of these retrospectives and stuff. I was like, oh, right, these got really fucked up out of nowhere. And it would be interesting to see that modernized.
Yeah, the nostalgia market will start pandering very hard to you specifically in the next, like, 5 years.
Damn, sure, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be all Animaniacs and Animorphs, and it's already, like, Rugrats. It's already early 90s.
Rugrats and stuff.
Yeah, it's already early 90s, but we're going to get into late 90s nostalgia, mm-hmm. like, pretty soon here,
right.
And that's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
And 2000s nostalgia, I wonder if it will exist,
mm-hmm.
because... The 2000s were such a nothing decade for pop culture.
They were. Well, you know, something happened at the beginning of the 2000s that kind of derailed a lot of pop culture evolution, you know, but I won't say what it was.
But, the chat reminds me that this was the year of 1997 pandering. He is correct. We are kind of in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Both in culture and in, yeah. So I was wrong on that. I amend my statement.
Mm-hmm.
Late 90s nostalgia is now. Soon we will be into early 2000s.
But it was for people who were teens in the late 90s. Like, the Jurassic Park and all that stuff, like, that's not super child. Like, that, you were 14 when you watched it as opposed to 3, you know. So... Maybe people who were actual children in the 90s and not, like, maybe that's where it's going. I don't know. And not teenagers.
Yeah. only real early 2000s kids remember the movie Gladiator.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're getting into stuff where I was just an adult for it. So it's going to get weird for me real fast.
Right, yeah.
Remember X-Men 2? Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
Remember that time, Bryan Singer? No, I don't. Let's not think about that.
All right, okay. Let's see here. Invalid Name asks, hope you've been playing a lot of Clannad lately, the visual novel that we recently discussed on the podcast. Would you recommend the visual novel, the anime, or neither?
I would recommend the visual novel to a very specific kind of... I wouldn't recommend the anime to anybody. That's a you-had-to-be-there thing, I think. Like, I wouldn't say not anybody. I would say if somebody strikes me, I meet somebody and I talk to them for a while, and for some reason they strike me as the perfect person for Clannad the anime, then I would mention it. But otherwise, I wouldn't mention it because it is like a time and place thing. It like Haruhi Suzumiya to me, which I wouldn't recommend to people now either. It's like a you had to be there sort of a thing. But the visual novel, since it is just now out, I would recommend to people who are specifically down with that kind of vicarious immersive romance, high school friends type thing. Like, if that sounds like interesting to you, then that game is well made and compelling and fun, provided that you're down with that tone and that specific style of stuff. But yeah, not for everybody. But I would, if I had to recommend the game or the anime, one or the other, I would pick the game because that's the original format for it, and it works better in that format. It doesn't have the pacing issues that that the anime had. It has them, but they're different, and they're more... You care less about a scene that isn't working when you are playing the protagonist, which has always been the case for visual novels. Inherently, a scene can be less interesting, and you will be more invested because you are literally a character in it. Mm. So that's just how it works. So, yeah.
Yeah. I thought the limited time I spent with the game, I did enjoy it. So, if you're curious about that sort of thing, yeah, check it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe wait for a Steam sale. what's that?
I said, yeah, it's a lot, but it's a lot of content. Like,
it is, but $50.
Yes, it's a lot. It's a lot in general.
I'm not saying don't buy it at that price. I'm saying, maybe wait. That stuff always goes on sale. Scotty415 wants to know thoughts on the Noragami Production Committee canceling the soundtrack due to the Islamic prayer call. Necessary or an overreaction? Should we comment on this at all?
It's happened.
No,
before.
Moving on.
Yeah, it's happened before. They've done this multiple times.
That's happened before, yeah. I whenever that happens, I always just wonder, so that's happened enough times now to where, why wouldn't they just be like, oh, you don't use that.
Don't put that in.
Yeah,
here.
Just don't use
We're
that.
We're going to take it out later.
Just don't use it because, who wants to deal with it? Right?
It happened to JoJo's. It happened to Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Anytime that there is a religious, a Buddhist or Islam or anything like that, that they use, they inevitably go back and go, oh, this might be like a problem for practitioners or, and take it out. So yeah, they just don't put it in there. Don't do it.
Okay. Let's see here. Red Sub Claire asks, when it comes to multi-season shows, anime or otherwise, is it better to start or end on a good note?
I think endings are slightly more important than beginnings. You can't have a terrible beginning, but if you have beginning and a strong ending, then your show will last longer in the cultural memory than if you have an awesome beginning and then it peters out. You don't want that. So, Star Driver versus Madoka Magica, who won that, I guess. Star Driver, I mentioned Star Driver because I think it has one of the strongest beginnings in anime that I've seen, and then it just completely craps the bed pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And Madoka obviously infamously started inoffensively and now is, rules the world of otaku. So,
I feel like I don't really understand the question. Is it better to start or end on a good note for multi-season shows? What does that mean? I'm not sure what that means.
I think he just means is it better to have a strong ending when there's a hiatus or when there's a, I don't know. I just looked at it at a macro scale. What's more important, a beginning or an ending? And I think an ending is a little bit more important.
I think the ending ultimately is what leaves an impact on you if you watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned Fate Zero. I would not have watched Fate Zero if it wasn't for the fervor around that that grew up around it after it already kind of aired. And that's one of my favorite anime ever. But that first episode is purposefully obstructive. Like, it's purposely kind of trying to get you to not pay attention to it. I'm not that was the intent, but gosh, it feels like it. So,
Yeah. Well, I apologize if I misunderstood your question, Red Subclair. Hopefully we answered it to your satisfaction. Branko Berkson asks, what do you think the reaction will be when the first Attack on Titan Season 2 trailer hits? It will be, hey, look, it's the trailer for Attack on Titan Season 2, and it looks like Season 1, except more of the story. Mm-hmm. They're not changing studios or anything for that, are they?
There's more armored Titan in it.
They're not changing the studio for that, right?
No.
Are they? I mean, who knows? I don't know.
It's probably going to be more IG and Wit.
More than likely. They didn't mess it up last time.
Nope.
Whatever. I mean, it's just like, that's just more of the manga. So it's not like crazy plot reveals or anything. So there's nothing to really react to other than, yep.
Yeah, other than I want to see this animated.
Yeah. They'll be really excited. Mm-hmm. And we're all excited for Attack on Titan to come back. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Everyone involved in anime, both.
Yeah, from a business perspective.
From a business perspective and from a fan perspective. Uh-huh. Okay, not everyone. Mm-hmm. All of the people who dislike Attack on Titan, your taste is valid as well. I just want to point that out.
Right.
Branko Berkson asks, would you ever want to see a Star Wars anime? Hey, it's a question about Star Wars. We got a question about Star Wars here. Let's take a question about the upcoming film, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Branko Berkson wants to know, would you ever watch a Star Wars anime? Personally, I want to see UFO Table animate a lightsaber battle. Yeah, sure.
I would watch it. I wouldn't be excited about it. But
UFO Table, that sounds neat. I would watch that.
Yeah, I would watch it just because for the novelty of a Western thing being animated, but I don't have the personal, like, warm fuzzies towards Star Wars, personally, so I'd be like, yes, this is neat. It would just be a critical... I don't have nostalgia for Star Wars, so...
Yeah, let's stop talking about Star Wars.
Star Wars!
Star Wars. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Or stars.
Anyway. Branko Berkson also asks, which movies are you rooting for in the Oscar race? Mad Max?
Not a lot has come out yet.
Right now, Mad Max, I guess.
Yeah.
I've seen a few Oscar contenders, I guess. I wouldn't be upset if Creed won. Creed was a good movie, but it was like a really well-made chair. Like, it's a chair.
That chair.
It does what it is expected to do, and you sit in it, and you're like, yeah, it's comfortable, and it's a chair. I right now, man, I feel like I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, not a lot of the big awards movies have, like, circulated yet, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I do need to see Brooklyn. Room is, for whatever reason, not expanding right now. I don't know why, but it is not expanding. Mm. I'm hoping it expands, like, really soon. I could, like, you know, drive half an hour, I guess, and see it.
Right.
But, yeah, there's a, you know, Spotlight was fine. I honestly, like, that movie... It was good. Mm-hmm. It was very well made. I respect it a lot. Uh-huh. But it didn't leave me with much feeling.
Mm-hmm. I think I liked it more than you did, but it's not something that I would, like, revisit a lot or anything. It was good, but it's not particularly impactful, so...
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine. Like, that was, like, a really solid, like, 70s movie.
Right.
Where, like, you know... I guess exactly like All the President's Men, uh-huh. You know, yeah. I want to see, you know, obviously we'll see everything else that comes out. If Brooklyn is a serious contender, which I kind of have a hard time believing, mm-hmm. I guess I got to see that. It looks really schmaltzy. Are you familiar with this thing?
No, what is it?
It's like old timey, like, remember the good old days, like old school Brooklyn, like romance thing, I guess. Like golden bathed light and the newsboys on the corner, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I don't know. When I saw the trailer, I'm like, this? Really? And yeah, I guess Oscar consideration.
I'm excited to see The Revenant just because of all the stories that have come out of the production of that film. Holy crap. So, just to have all the stories in my mind and then watch, like, what was worth all that trouble in RE2? What was it? What was worth that? And see what the heck.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm most excited right now for Hateful Eight. And I'm gonna try and make it so that we see that the 70mm roadshow like on Christmas. I'm gonna try and get that to happen.
It'll be interesting.
Well, I'm super excited about that movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm dodgy. I have a love hate relationship with him.
Yeah, you're not of
when
his.
When he's good,
you're
he's
not...
good. When he's bad, he is intolerable. So I don't. It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Kraylin asks, why am I still watching Utawara Rumono?
You're just waiting for the plot to start like the rest of us, I guess.
So is this thing a letdown?
Yeah. The first show, if anything, it could be argued that the first show, like, gets into the plot too quickly. Like, it's sort of standard JRPG, blah, 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 and there's not a whole lot of, like, distinctness to the character development or anything, and it's just like, and then they went to war, and here's this battle, etc. But it sure moves along at a clip and gets you invested just because the characters are cute and it's charming and the Ainu theme is nice. And But this is like, it is 10 episodes into this, and the protagonist is still bumming around the city doing odd jobs. And it's just slice of life haromantics, and it's been that for 10 episodes. And it's a very nice looking show, but they have just not dropped even a hint of a battle. And this is an RTS game. Like, this is a real-time strategy fighty-fighty, and the first series was not like this. There were some battles going on, and nothing like that has happened. So it's weird. It's like, what the hell? Come on, guys. Like, and you just know they're going to start the plot at, like, episode 15 or some shit. You know? I don't know.
That sounds like kind of a letdown.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
All right, so I guess that is a good question then. That's like not out of touch, like,
no.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and right. If you've looked at the rankings, so we have like episode ratings for the show and on ANN, and if you looked at it, it's like nice and consistent for the first six episodes, and then past that point, it's just a cliffside. It's just gone down and down and down as people are like, okay, enough of this. Like, what? Why have we not started the story yet?
Yeah, all right. Sounds like a letdown. R Hopper 237 asks, what anime have made you cry?
A lot of stuff.
The end of Utena always comes to mind for me. Always makes made me cry. Death Parade, big time. The last episode, man, I cried a lot. I mean, I just saw Creed, which is like the movie designed to make you cry. So that's sort of what's sticking in my head, but that's not anime.
You want to see a Sylvester Stallone anime?
No, I would not. I'm pretty sure a couple of the Miyazaki's, Kiki's, I think. Plenty of stuff.
Yeah, same. Wolf's Rain is the number one for volume of tears. The second is Fruits Basket, but it's more the manga than the anime. I cried when I watched the anime of Fruits Basket, but I cried more when I read the manga. So those two things are the top because I saw them at an age where I cried more.
Yeah.
And since then, maybe not so much. The weirdest anime crying, the weirdest one, was when I got the Cowboy Bebop Blu-rays, and it wasn't an emotional episode. It was just fucking episode 5, which everybody watches or whatever. Everybody's seen, and everybody goes to that one first. But I just looked at it, like, I was just seeing it in high definition and seeing the film grain. And there's nothing particularly emotional about watching Vicious walk around a building and slit throats. But I was like on the verge of just tears. It was just water filling my eyes just watching Bebop on Blu-ray because that show means so much to me. So it was like, you know. It wasn't even like, and I hadn't even gotten to Green Bird. By Green Bird, I was just kind of I was a mess and like trying to hide it. So, yeah.
Yeah. The first time I saw it at the end of Escaflowne, not the second time. Second time I was like, yeah, it's all right. I didn't have quite the same emotional reaction to it. There's plenty of anime out there.
Itomi's full lips didn't bring you to tears the second time.
No.
Giant lips and nose.
Yeah. Okay. R Hopper, nope, we're not going to take that one. Okay, so that actually does it for Twitter questions. Now we can take questions from the chat. So please offer up your questions, and we will try to get to as many of them as we can. Thanks to the chat again for showing up and hanging out with us today. Elaine wants to know how hype I am for the Final Fantasy VII remake. I remain cautiously optimistic that it will be fun. I guess I didn't figure that they would go episodic with it, but that is an obvious solution to the size and scope of the original game, and like trying to do that with current gen graphics, like as they've said many times, would be very, very expensive. So I can understand splitting it up into chunks, and like if those chunks start to fail, then they can call it off halfway through development. That might be the future for big projects like that.
Yeah.
And eventually the pieces all interconnect. Like, you could do that with a video game easily enough. especially because Final Fantasy VII as a game is fairly linear for quite a while. Like, there's not that much. There's not that much they can. They would have to take away from you in order to make that a fairly linear experience that eventually gives you a world map. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Let's see here. I mean, that'll be your first time, right? Seeing the whole game?
No. I did, like, I looked, I watched a playthrough.
Oh, for your list, right?
Yeah.
For Setlist.
Which was totally worth it.
Yeah, really?
Weeps openly that more people didn't watch that, but anyway.
It did all right. It did all right.
But you don't understand. I watched a playthrough of the whole game.
Yeah.
Because I had not played it myself for many, many, many years, and I'd never beaten it. You know, I'd never seen the whole thing. So
yeah. Let's see. Tanya says, "Hope, do you think the re-release of Fruits Basket could lead to an anime reboot of it?"
Oh my god. Probably not. But I hold out hope. Like, maybe. The author, the manga author, Natsuki Takaya's statement on when people said, oh, more Fruits Basket anime, was two words. It was no Daichi. So that was her, like, basically only statement on it. She infamously does not like the anime, and I understand completely why. But it's not that it's bad or anything. It's just it is out of tone. It is out of spirit with what she wrote. So I think it would be really great, but I don't know if it's going to happen. And I imagine that she would be extremely protective over a second adaptation, given what she thought of the first one.
Yeah.
So the first one was tremendously successful, but she didn't like it. So, you know. And people pick on, like, oh, picky shoujo authors. Like, you know, that's a thing. But I think she's right. Like, I think that show was good for, like, it's a chicken soup for the soul for 12-year-olds, but the manga is so much more than that that's tough, you know?
Yeah, I really want them to remake Fruits Basket so I can watch the whole thing and get the whole story, actually enjoy it. You know, yeah, that would... It's so just money laying there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just money laying there. Someone will take it. They're not just going to leave that money sitting there.
I mean, whoever picks it up needs to understand that the tone of that manga, like, it has some comedy in it, but the tone is not like wacky comedy hijinks followed by chicken soup sentimentalism while a choir goes ba 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 over somebody talking about how their mother rejected them. Like, no, it is, it's a more, like, look at her panel layouts, look at the dialogue that is chosen, look at the darkness of some of these emotions and, like, the difficulty of working through them. It's not a ba 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 sort of a situation. Like, it's just not. So whoever adapts it needs to understand that. And so
I like that. If you've been watching anime long enough, all it takes is some, you know, the little ba 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 ba, like, kind of shows.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you have to say, and they're like, yes.
It's like, I still have some fondness for that anime because I saw it very early and it left an impact on me. And it's not bad, but it is not in keeping with the spirit of the original, certainly.
Yeah. Anyway, Tash of the Future asks, have you or Hope watched Hunter x Hunter? Do you have any plans to watch it? I have seen the original Hunter x Hunter and a few episodes of the Madhouse one, or the new one. But everyone tells me to watch the new one for the Chimera Ant arc. I've been told I have to see this. We may watch it for an Ancast one day, but I don't know. What about you? Did you watch the new one?
I kept with it for a while, and I eventually just gave up because it was so directionless compared to Togashi's previous... compared to Yu Yu Hakusho. Yu Yu Hakusho is split into four arcs that are, like, from the beginning, have very determined mission statements. It's like, Yusuke's gotta come back to life and prevent these insects from killing his loved ones. Then Yusuke's got to win in this tournament, or he's gonna be killed, and his master's gonna be killed. And then the third one is, like, Yusuke's got to confront his predecessor, who was, you know, went rogue and everything. And then the fourth one is Yusuke's got to navigate demon politics. And all of them were just very ticking clock. This is serious business. Go go go. Hunter x Hunter's not like that. It's meandering. Like, even when there's arcs, it's like, let's go focus on what these characters we just met are doing, and these ones, or whatever, and what is the qualification for being a hunter? Well, it's just whatever. Like, it's just whatever. And that's fine. That can be fun, but it wasn't... I like just whatever when it's, like, more, like, One Punch Man or JoJo's level, or Space Dandy, just whatever. Hunter x Hunter is a little too, like, low-level just whatever, where it's sort of stakesless and meandering and funsy, but it's not, like, crazy, and I need... crazy for me to really stay invested. So I just, I kept with it and kept with it. But after like 30 something episodes, I was like, this is just too, like, I don't know what we're building to. And I'm just, and my favorite character was Leorio, and they just, they spent almost no time with him. It also, yeah, they don't give equal screen time to the four main characters. It's like, these are four main characters, and then they spend all their time with like one or two. And it's like, it felt lopsided, and I couldn't keep with it. It's not a bad show. And if you're into like shonen stuff, like it's unique. Togashi has a unique aesthetic, and he's very like pointed in how he characterizes things. He doesn't ever do anything that's cliche. Sometimes he does stuff that's weird and doesn't work, but he's not a cliche writer. The issue is more that it was just not really focused, and I needed some focus and some oomph. Mm-hmm. So that was my issue, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it gets evangelized to me still so often that it's just like, okay, all right, I'll get to it. I promise I will.
Right. Yu Yu Hakusho is my favorite, like, long-running conventional Shonen Tournament thing. So, I mean, yeah, I like this guy's style, but I, but yeah, Hunter x Hunter, a little more, like, adrenaline would have been good.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see here. I like this question. Bunny Bookends asks, I was listening to an older podcast episode and occasionally hear a click click noise in the background. Was it Olive drinking from her water bottle? It was. That noise is always Olive drinking from her water bottle if you hear it. I apologize for that noise. Her cage, her giant gymnasium like cage is in our office. There's really no other place in our house for it.
What are we gonna do? Go over, grab the water bottle, and say you can't drink.
Yeah,
that. Like what monsters? While this cute little bunny looks up at us, you know, with question mark over her head.
Yeah,
can't do that.
Yeah, so I just tolerate it. I do apologize for that noise, but it's my bunny, and I, you know,
no.
Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Seeker Rob asks, what other shows are you looking to do? How do I watch this features on? You've mentioned Lupin, possibly Saint Seiya, anything else? Yeah, we're probably going to do those for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I found that first one to be very useful. The one we have coming up on Lupin is exhaustive. It's fantastic. Reed did an incredible job with it, and I'm excited for everybody to read that. It'll come out next week, and yeah, I'm really excited for everyone to read that. Definitely Lupin, definitely, I think definitely Saint Seiya. I don't think you can say, I think definitely. I don't think you can say that. Maybe Saint Seiya. Yeah. A strong maybe. And then, yeah, we'll do as many of them as makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I really liked that idea because a lot of those franchises, even, you know, an old, crusty old vet like me gets overwhelmed by the sheer size of a franchise. I guess I got to do one on Macross. That'll be a fun forum thread.
Where can you watch any of these shows? Well,
yeah, but what's worth watching on Macross? That's going to be fun to read the thread. Because
right.
Macross fans are passionate
mm-hmm.
with a capital P.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. Let's see here. Let's see. Rubicante 6 asks, do you think anime CGI should stick with robots and power armor, or should they keep trying to use it for representing human beings in 3D? I am of the opinion that the former is preferable.
They gotta stop cutting frames. That's pretty much all there is to it. I mean,
yeah.
Not. I mean, that's not all there is to it. There's, you still have crappy CG for many other reasons, but that's the most obvious, hey guys, like, thing that they're still doing that if they just stopped doing it would just automatically improve whatever the CG modeling is. It's like, stop cutting the frames from a fully rendered, like, you know, 30 or 60 FPS thing. Stop it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like the look of 3D people as much as the look of 2D people.
Yeah, and that's been universally true for me as well.
Yeah. Even with good, even like, you know, good Pixar humans.
Yeah.
Like, where they get it right or whatever. It's still preferable 2D. So, you know, yeah. I don't know. I would rather they just do tanks and robots and cars and stuff like that. It just makes more sense that way.
Are you dimensionalist, Zach, against 3D people as compared to 2D people?
No, well, maybe a little bit.
Dimensionalist.
West Coast Anime asks, do you believe that Evangelion 4.44 will ever come out? Yes, it will. Of course it'll come out.
Someday.
Of course it'll come out. Before the end of the decade? I don't know. I don't know when. There's too much money involved for them to not put that out.
And I was taking a sweet-ass time.
Yeah.
He can, so he just will.
Right. Let's see. Fighting Dreamer asks, Hope, what do you personally want from a potential Digimon tri-dub?
You know, I mean, like, I feel like everybody kind of has the same answer to that, which is, could you get the entire cast back together? Like, that would be awesome. Which would be a feat. because some of them are not in anime anymore at all, and some of them are quite old. And I was speaking specifically about Joshua Seth is not in anime at all, but he's personally said, "Oh, I'll come back to this." Like he like made a big deal of saying, "I'll come back to this if they want me to, just for this character, but only for that." And Mona Marshall is old as balls, and so stuff like that makes you nervous. And it's like, yeah, that would be really great, but if you could just like get it like soon, that would be perfect. But yeah, like even if it sounds hokey, and even if like some of those voices are hokey and off and like dissimilar, there's no point in recasting that, because that whole movie and that whole project is predicated on nostalgia for the previous thing. So recasting it just seems silly. It seems beyond the point. Like you should just have the old actors back. Like even if they can't really act very well or something, or even if they sound different, you should still have those people back. Like that's just what you should do if you can.
Mm-hmm. Digimon.
Yep.
That sure is a thing. I mean, dang, it's a thing.
I could write a guide to Digimon.
You could. Like, which are you volunteering to do that?
That would actually be easier than the what makes it special thing. Like, it just say, like, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. That would be easy, actually. So, sure.
Amagi asks, now that you're at the end of the year, what was the most successful or your favorite new thing you've done with ANN for this year? Well, the most successful new thing would be the big feature editorials. That'll be expanding. You'll see more and more and more of those on the site. Those have done really, really well for us, and I'm really happy with them. Mm-hmm. In terms of my favorite thing, starting projects that will come to fruition next year.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed working on the editorials, but we got to start a couple of things this year that will come out next year that we're pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess that's that. Are your answers the same, or do you...
Yeah, I'm really happy with the editorials that we've been doing. Like, that's been exciting. And also, like, the continued successful wrangling of people for episode reviews is neat, is fun. Mm-hmm. Because the writers are a joy to work with, and it's neat. Like, you can't watch everything, so I like seeing their different takes on stuff. And I really like the ranking charts. Like, that tickles my, like, the nerdy part of me. I like watching the community response to stuff going up and down. Like, I like those a lot. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff is neat. And it's also nice when you can kind of, like, that process actually introduced some of our writers to stuff that they didn't know that they might like, and they ended up liking it. Like, Lauren loves Ushio and Tora, and she got drafted into that because nobody picked it. Nobody wanted it. And so she got drafted into that because it was like, will you take this? And she's like, yeah, I'll give it a try. And she loved it. And so that was neat. And so stuff like that is always a nice surprise.
Yeah. Someone in the chat mentioned that they enjoyed the Sakuga article. I did too, and we are going to be doing quite a bit more with Kevin. Moving forward, he's going to be doing some more writing for us. I'm happy about that. So, yeah, we're going into the new year with a pretty big pile of stuff on our plate, but it should be rewarding all in the end. And this was a good year. This was a great year, I think. I had a really it was one of those, I think it was memorable. Mm-hmm. Okay, Red Car asks, since we've been talking about adaptations, what are the best and worst anime adaptations you've seen? I can't really answer that, like, off the top of my head. Mm. I'll just tell you that right now. I that's on the spot. I could not tell you, like, off the top of my head. What would you say is a characteristic of good adaptive writing? That I can answer. Mm-hmm. And Hope, why don't you take that first?
Well, I actually can say best and worst, because I was just thinking about this because it's year-end and stuff like that. I'm not sure I've seen a more, like... let's make this relevant to audiences now, and let's make it look as absolutely, like, let's put all of the feelings we have for this thing into it as we're making it, as JoJo's anime adaptation has been. Like, it's really astounding how good that is. And it's not just 'cause it's like, oh, the material was good, which it was. It's just that it could have gone wrong in so many ways. We've seen, like, that happen with the OVAs, which I enjoyed, but they're kind of dry or whatever. And I don't know, the director, I hope he does lots of cool stuff in the future, because the director of the entire JoJo's thing as it's gone down clearly really knows how to update a thing and make it feel, like, fresh and exciting. I rewatched lots of episodes of JoJo's at various points, which I don't rewatch stuff when it's new, like, ever. And I, you know, that's a real they really knew what they were doing with that and making it exciting and not like, okay, whatever, they're bringing back this old thing. So I think a characteristic of good adaptive writing is figuring out what works for the medium and the climate, the pop culture climate of the medium that you're working in. Like, what's good in anime right now? What works? What do people like? What would change when adding sound to this thing if it was originally a comic book? All this stuff, like just understanding how to make a good TV show, regardless of how faithful it is to the original. You want to capture the spirit of the original, but you don't have to get like beat for beat, panel for panel, everything that happens. You need to like find a way to make it good as its own thing, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I think it's just a willingness to actually adapt, mm-hmm. like actually change the source. If the story that you're telling is going in a slightly different direction, or you have an idea for this that, you know, might be a little bit different. I guess the thing is that adapting only really happens when the manga isn't finished and the show has to finish it itself. And that happens increasingly less now. At least it seems like maybe it does. Mm-hmm. Or they just, you know, due to the shortness of seasons, they only animate when they have 12 episodes mm-hmm. worth of stuff to go on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, rewriting it or finishing out a story that doesn't have an end yet yourself is obviously a completely different adaptation challenge, and we just don't see it quite as often. So,
I mean, I just wrote about Fullmetal Alchemist, and that's another one where they had three volumes and extra chapters of the manga, but they're like 50 episodes, and you get this prime time slot. And so, and that could have been awful, but they went gonzo with it. Like, they made a challenging and very ambitious thing. So, you know, that's I guess what it takes, like passion and devotion to whatever your field is. If you're adapting from a different medium.
Right. All right. Steak Dinner asks, it's a great username. Have either of you revisited an anime recently and found out how well it holds up? Anything that didn't? Just got done rewatching Ouran myself, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I mean, we've been rewatching a lot of stuff.
For the podcasts, for the series podcasts, we come back to stuff all the time, and that's, you know, it's always different and interesting.
Yeah, those aren't... Typically, I'm not picking stuff I've already seen, though. Very rarely am I picking stuff I've already seen. Where I've seen the whole thing already.
I think, for me, it's mostly been stuff I already seen. I feel like 3/4 of the time, it's stuff I'd already seen. Maybe 5/6.
Yeah, it's just that, like, a lot of my job over the years has been about when a show launches uh-huh. and not necessarily when a show finishes. Mm-hmm. You write about things a lot over the years. Not so much anymore. That's changed over the years. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, you know, you would write about a show as it launches because that's when everyone is excited about it. That's when there's press opportunities and all that stuff. And, you know, I didn't always finish watching everything. So I've seen like the first like 4 to 5 episodes of like all of this shit. Mm-hmm. But I saw it like 10 years ago. So it's a lot of finishing, like unfinished business for me. It's been good. But a lot of that stuff isn't necessarily revisiting. I honestly thought I would react to Haibane Renmei better than I did on revisiting. On revisiting, I just thought it was like, man, this show is so ugly.
It's too ugly for you, right? See, I don't have the hair trigger response to poor aesthetics that you do.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm
kind of an easy mark.
Well, I mean, poor aesthetics will ruin it for me if the story's not good, but Haibane Renmei's story was so good that it's like, okay, this looks like trash, but, you know... You know, I'm that way with bad sound. Bad sound can fuck something up for me, so.
Right. Anyway, let's see. We can take another few questions. Rogue of Space asks, what is your favorite current video game platform? PS4, Expo, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The PC, I switched to PC a while ago. I have a PS4. It's great. I like it a lot. But if the game is available on my PC, generally I will get it there. Just because it's going to be cheaper and probably look better and run better and all that stuff. That's generally how I've come to understand it this current gen, and I'm fine with it staying that way. Jordan Cox asks, excited for the Anno Godzilla movie? Of course.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. I hope it's a complex visual metaphor for some sort of, you know, emotional problem.
I like Shinji Higuchi's Attack on Titan stuff, so, I mean, those guys are working together, like, that's going to be neat.
Oh, it's that guy again, too?
Yeah, it's both of them.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, for sure. That,
They worked.
I
want to
see. Yeah.
I mean, like they that guy's participation in End of Evangelion was like some of the not the Third Impact stuff, but the stuff that comes right before that with like Asuka and the floating like. So I mean, he's, you know, like that guy knows his shit and Anno knows his shit, and I'm sure it's gonna be like weird and disturbing, and that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that guy doesn't get along with the press, but I thought he was funny when we met him at the premiere, and I really liked his movie. Yeah. So
he's very jovial.
I want, as an artist, whatever his public persona, who cares? Mm-hmm. As an artist, I'm really curious to see what he makes.
Right.
Okay, if we have one last question, we can take one last question. Ryan Smith asks, so what was your favorite convention experience this year? We only went to one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anime Expo.
Mm-hmm.
So Anime Expo.
Right.
AX was fine this year.
I conducted a lot of interviews and I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did really good interviews this year.
I really enjoyed meeting and talking with Shoei Aikawa, which I was expecting to kind of enjoy that. He's just so frank and he doesn't give a fuck, and he was like just, I don't know, sharing some really interesting stuff, and he was just a very chill, cool guy.
Yeah, actually, I was there for that. I was part of that. It was really nice and fun, and he was a really cool guy to talk to. And it was in a private room, and he was very candid, and it was great. Mm-hmm. But I strive to duplicate that this year. I want to try and do more of that stuff.
Right, and the opposite end of that, the director of JoJo's, we also get to interview. I had no idea what that was going to be like. I was like, oh, is he going to be boring? Is he going to be exciting? And he was like all energy and like excitement and fanboyism, but like professionalism. Like, he seemed sharp as a tack, so that was neat. Like, that guy's cool, and obviously he's really talented, and yeah, so those two interviews were really great.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so that actually wraps us up. I think we might be doing more conventions in 2016. I'm not sure. It might just be AX again. We'll see. But anyway, that wraps us up. Big thanks to the chat for coming on by and hanging out with us today. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to everyone for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.